हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 160. Moving along. Only Vedanta Sutra we only got through one paragraph.
Vedanta Sutra?
Yes, Sutra. Yeah, that's the whole point. One Sutra at a time.
Chopping away.
One Sutra per week.
Could be.
We're still on the fourth sutra.
Last year we just started.
Yeah, because it's mostly commentary. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshipping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahamsas? Srila Prabhupada comments. The Vedas enjoin, Natyam atma pravachanena labdhyo namejaya na bahuna shrutena. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by studying the Vedas and offering prayers. Only by the grace of the Supreme Lord can one understand him. Right, so, yes. So that means you can understand him by approaching him through the devotees. Right? Then he gives his mercy. Right? And then, so what are you getting from the devotees? Right? That's the next point. The process of understanding the Lord is therefore is bhakti. Without bhakti, simply following the Vedic injunctions to understand the absolute truth will not be helpful at all. The process of bhakti is understood by the Paramahamsas, one who has accepted the essence of everything. The results of bhakti are reserved for such a Paramahamsa, and this stage cannot be obtained by any Vedic process other than devotional service. Right? So, devotional service actually is the Vedic process, but because there's so many other aspects that are there, forms that are there, then that we don't necessarily identify in that way, we'll think that there's something different. But the Vedas are only talking about bhakti. That's the only thing that's given. Right? It's just that depending upon what is there, if you want this result, then this is the process. So people think it's the demigods that are giving or other things that are giving, the rituals giving. No, that's just the process by which the Lord awards that particular result. Mm-hmm. So for the devotees, even if they follow those things, they will see them in connection to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you're cooking something for Krishna. There's a process you go through. Right? So the standard thing is you follow the process and you're fine. But you can have those who will get distracted by the process. You know, they like their little bag with all the little knives in it and what knives they have. And here's the European one, here's the Japanese one, and this is made by this guy and that one's by that guy. And they have their fancy little machine that they keep it sharp with and this and that. And then they got their hat and then they got the thing and then how many buttons on it. And, you know, the whole thing they can get into. And then they got the pot and then they got the other pot, you know, and stuff, you know, and that's my burner. And so they just totally get into that. Doesn't mean they don't cook well. It just means they get distracted by the process of cooking. And actually the purpose of cooking, that they miss out on. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So then in it, rather than you're trying to please who you're cooking for, them being pleased then shows that you've done a good job. You understand? It looks the same. The person eats, they ask for the call, ask for the cook. Cook comes out, and they say, oh, you know, this is very wonderful and all that. So for some, they'll think, okay, it's working well. My process is working. I'm pleasing people. Others will go, you know, see, yes, I'm so good at the process that, you know, that they're happy. You understand? So it's the same thing, but it's the opposite. So Krishna's taken the one where we're attracted by the technique, because that's all we've done since time immemorial. Right? And then we connect that to Krishna, but eventually we have to get to the point where we reverse it. Where it's about pleasing Krishna, and then this technique is how you do it in that way, right? I want to please Krishna, so that means service has to be rendered. The service that can be rendered has a particular form, right? And nature. And so I have this facility to serve Krishna with, you know, and an interest in this because it's the nature. So I engage that in Krishna's service. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Can we say that switching of the mood is actually an emotional thing? So we work on understanding the tattva and we work on the intent.
Yes. Yes.
All the things that come along, it's by the mercy. So
by the mercy.
Do and wait.
Yes, that's all you can do anyway. But yes, if you understand that, then it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. Because the point is if it's supposed to happen, it happens. If it's not supposed to happen, it won't happen. And in any case, you go back to Godhead where everything works out anyway. You know, so it's just a matter of spending the time now to the best you can until one goes back to the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Yeah, because once one's on that transcendental platform, things work out here or not, you don't really care. Yudhishthira is not ecstatic having gained the kingdom and then laments because he lost it. You know, and this is not losing a kingdom. This is losing an empire, which meant the whole world, right? You know, nowadays you hear, you know, so many emperors, but they were not emperors of the whole world. Just how much they knew of the world, like that. So, yeah. So he's not worried about that. In any case, he'll serve Krishna. He's in the palace, he'll serve. He's in the forest, he'll serve. Like that. So he's come to that other. So then, yes, it will take on that form that it will have the emotions. The problem is our emotions now are generally caught up in you know, gain and safety, our own sense gratification. So therefore, intellectually, by knowledge, then we know what's the correct position and all that. You know, because you can't say by sambandha, this is my actual relationship, rather than by sentiment, this is my relationship. Right? So we have the sentimental relationship with the mundane, but we have the intellectual relationship with the Supreme. Then by practicing with that knowledge, eventually we get purified where the heart switches from the emotions connected to the mundane to the emotions connected to the Lord. Right? And so, because there's an in-between stage, the mixed stage, that's why we use the analytical to be able to tell what's real in the devotion and what's still mixed. Otherwise, if we don't make a distinction, we'll think that any of these things in between are still advanced. You know, the devotee's advanced, but why this happened, right? You know, that was the question before, is that he's advanced, but why is they falling down? Because they're advanced in one area, but another area there's a weakness. So it's the weakness they fall down, not their strength. Right? You know, the general is, you know, a good strategist and everything like this, and, you know, inspires his men and all that, but the weak thing is, you know, he wants to know everything himself, so he pops his head up out of the trench and immediately gets shot. So it's not from his strength he had a problem, it's from his weakness. You know? Yeah, okay. Does that make sense? Yeah? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Still dazed from the last class.
Like a reflex response.
Without bhakti, simply following the Vedic injunctions to understand the absolute truth will not be helpful at all. So that doesn't mean we give them up. It's just that on their own, they're not the ones that make bhakti. So it's not because I'm following the rules, that's what makes bhakti. No, I'm following the rules to please Krishna, that's what makes bhakti. But the bhakti is the devotion. The rules are simply, you have to use something. Right? You have to use something. You know, that'd be like saying, okay, we came from a very, we used to live on the street, so therefore we just collected whatever we could get here and there, and so the quality of ingredients wasn't very good, you know, but we cooked that up the best that we could, and, you know, life went on. But now, somehow or another, we're in a more fortunate situation, we can actually go to the market, buy proper things, like that and all that, but, you know, I'm uncomfortable. I'm not going to do that because I came from the street, and so I'd actually rather use the stuff thrown on the side of the road and people, you know, that fell off the truck when it was going by and that bounced around in the street. I'd rather use that for Krishna.
You're a devotee, so you can do that.
Yeah, you're a devotee. Of course you can do that. You know, like that. So the whole point is we're saying it's not about the secondary. You know, it's about the primary, but it's totally about the secondary because of our reasons for choosing an alternative secondary. Right? So that's the thing is that since the secondary is used, and by what secondary you use will define what kind of result you get, then that's the whole point is, I want a good result for Krishna, therefore I use the best process. If I'm unaware of the best, then I use whatever to me seems the best. Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole thing. I want to cook something special for Krishna, and so the best thing I know to cook for Krishna is pizza, so therefore I'm going to cook pizza for Krishna. So in that way, it's fine. But then later, with time and association, we find that Krishna eats other things also, is that I want to cook those. You know, I can throw the pizza in because it's a specialty, but it's not, you know, the best thing. But to say, no, but, you know, hey, you know, I'm Italian, so therefore that's, you know, that doesn't work. You know, because it's a matter of the principles of cooking. So anyone said, no, but, you know, how can we say it's not there and what's that? It's special, unique. Point is, you know cooking, then you know what a pizza is. You don't know what cooking is, you think it's a recipe. You know, because the fun part is, and we'll say it's pizza, but almost every house, but at least every general region, whatever the other region cooks and calls pizza, that region will say, that's not pizza.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, I've heard it myself many times. You tell them, hey, could you do this and that? Oh, that's not pizza. You know? Or it's like if you're in the north, you say, oh, what about, you know, the olive oil from south? Oh, that's not olive oil. You know, it's too gross, it's too strong. You know, in the south, you say, oh, what about the, you know, the oil in the north? Oh, that's not olive oil. That's, you know, that's for puftas. You know, it's like there's no substance to it. You know, so it's just like, so we say, oh, no, but here it is. Like there's an absolute, that it's not, you know.
Within the village, you have two guys producing olive oil, and they'll say about each other.
Yeah, that's not olive oil. Yeah, because it's all in the mix. Every olive oil gets actually a mix. They take generally three different oils and then mix them to get the blend. So it's about the region, because you have a quality, but it's all about the guy who did it. That's why you see, you know, what is it? Giovanni, right?
Mm.
You know, he's the guy that mixed it. So, you know, he's the special. Yeah, he's got the little thing there. Yeah. It looks like a real paisano, right? You know, like that. You know, you're okay, this is authentic. Yeah. Okay. So the ritual is there's recommended rituals to use. One is because we may not come from a position that we would know what should be done. Right? The other is that it's one that guarantees things will work nicely. And then it will come to the point where the individual development of how you'll apply it, what will be important, what will be the balance, all those things will come with time. But you have to know is the primary is important, and there's recommended secondary, because they give a particular result that is more close to those who actually on the platform of prema, what they'd offer. Mother Yashoda is on the platform of prema, so yes, her love for Krishna is the primary, right? That parental love. But the secondary is going to be what she does in Nanda Baba's house to please and serve Krishna. So now what she does, that will basically be taken as standard. And so you'll judge what is standard according to that. Right? Because the point is she knows best how to please Krishna in that rasa. Right? And or in Brajabak, so in that way. You know, you don't hear of the cowherd boys cooking for Krishna. You don't even hear of them out in the forest, you know, just, you know, roasting eggplants on the fire, you know, or something. You just don't hear about it. They just, why are you going to do that? You know, there's already lunch.
Yeah.
Right? You know, they got an Indian mom, right? There's already enough stuff for an army sent with each kid. So, like that, you know, they could feed themselves, feed all the cows, feed all the Brahmins that they're out there. You know, the demigods could come and visit, you know, and still there'd be left over, right? You know, so, right?
Yeah,
that's the system, right? So they don't cook. Mother Jashoda cooks. Radharani cooks. Like that. You don't hear of anybody else. So what they cook, these are the standards. Right? So we know Krishna likes this because they love Krishna the most. They're going to please him. They're not going to cook something that he doesn't like. Now, of course, it's going to be about the devotion, but it's still, there are forms. And so these are the recommended forms in which you express your devotion. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita also. You know, if it wasn't important, why are all the menus mentioned? Mm. It doesn't just say he went to, you know, to Advaitacharya's house and had lunch with Nityananda Prabhu, and you know, because of their close relationship, there was some, you know, interest, fun talks, you know, light talks and all that, and then afterwards. It gets exactly into the menu, even how it was served.
Prabhupada says in one purport that all ISKCON cooks should learn these recipes.
Yes, like that.
Specifically.
Yeah, specifically. So the point is, this is the tradition. You can say it's not nice and this and that, but guaranteed anybody who appreciates proper cooking, and you cook all these nice, will appreciate it. Now there's those who don't know good cooking, and so, you know, what can you do? But they shouldn't be the ones commenting, you know? That's what he was saying before, is that someone in the field, they can comment. Someone not from the field, what's their authority to comment? Like that, you know? You know, if burning water while you boil it's your problem, don't make comments about cooking. Somebody said, yeah, so... like that, then the process there. So the secondary, therefore, is important because it's the form of variety within to express rasa. So that's why then there's recommended forms. So if you know those things, you have those ingredients, you cook those. You don't know those, you don't have those, then you cook something else. The idea is you cook the best. But you can't say, that doesn't apply. Right? It's eternal. There's always been eggplants. You know, it's not like it's a new thing. There's always been eggplants. You know what I'm saying? Like Lord Shiva is talking about, pumpkin actually is a first grade vegetable. So that means people knew how to cook it to make it nice. Like I explained, there was this one devotee where he was from, in that area, the prominent thing that grows is papayas. And so naturally green papaya used to make a sabji. Now, most people I've seen cook green papaya, it's not nice, you know. But this guy would cook a green papaya and it was like nectar. Mm. They value, so they put in the effort.
I had to.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, kind of had to, yeah. So that's the whole thing. There's always these things that are around, they're there. So we don't know necessarily what's good, what's not good, or this or that. We'll have our own opinion on things. But at the same time, then there's Krishna's opinion. So, of course, the devotion is the prominent, but there are recommended forms. To just throw out the secondary and then replace it with one's own attachments, you know, in secondary, that's not fair. That's not legal. That's not advanced. You know? It's not even logical. You know, saying it's not important and then saying, no, but we have to do it like this. Does this make sense? So the whole point is here is that these secondary rules on their own, even though they're recommended, still are useless. Let alone non-recommended and not with devotion. That's really useless. Because you don't please Krishna and you don't get a pious result. You know, that's a real waste of time. You know, at least the guy's a materialist, at least you should be getting some material benefit. But if he's working so hard and not getting a material benefit, how sad. That's a real waste of time. The guy's a committed materialist and he's got nothing. You know, then that's not good.
What a waste.
Yeah, it's a real waste. You know. But better he does that with, you know, he endeavors with devotion. Does this make sense? Because this point of overlapping, that's where the difficulty comes in. Yeah?
So is this about being trained so that Krishna would enjoy it? Is Krishna the thing? Because one time the Dandar Maharaj was saying that Krishna loves devotees to choose how to serve him and please him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. But his point is it's not choosing, meaning that it means you have the point of this, the choice, so you think this is what's best, and then, you know, and trying to offer to Krishna. But there's also the element that if you're trained, then within the areas of training you choose. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when you have a temple and then you say, okay, what service do you want to do? What is the context of the options? It means what service, but within which environment? The temple environment. So they're not saying, well, you know, hey, well, actually I'd like to, you know, go down to the car wash and help, you know, the Baywatch babes watch cars, you know, and can we get some money and then, you know, we can use that for Krishna. They're not saying that. You understand? They're talking about within the temple environment. So when it's about what you want to do for Krishna, but it's generally within what's recommended. Does that make sense? That's there. But if you don't, either you're not trained in what's recommended, then whatever is in your mind the best, that's what you use. But once you know, then why you wouldn't use something more recommended?
And that's when my opinion gets in.
That's when we have a problem. You can say, well, it's not practical, it's not available. Then why it's not practical, not available? Is it because we don't know how to do that? We don't have the right understanding, right? Because knowledge is there in Sankarshan, attitude is there in Prajumna, right? We don't know, you know, how to apply that plan in Vasudev, so therefore we can't see how that result would be there. Right? So the problem is if that's the thing, then is it valuable to get ourselves educated? Right? Rather than think one's educated and then make up opinions. Does that make sense? You know. So yes, it has to be practical, but at the same time, as especially nowadays, because everybody talks about educating, why can't we educate within the tradition? Why it has to be educated in something outside the tradition, something temporary that after a few years it won't be of value anyway. No one will care. Right? You know, do you hear anyone talking about Kavi these days? No. But back in the 90s, everything was Kavi. Yeah, you know, win-win, you know. Well, that's second quadrant, you know. You know, that's all you heard. And so now they train themselves in that. And then now it's like it's out the window. You know, like that. You know, trying to work out, what do you call it, strategic planning. And now they're talking systems. You know, it's just like, you know, then what's the point? But you know Artha Shastra, you know Dharma Shastra, you know Niti Shastra. Those are eternal. They never stop working. So then you just become better and better at it because you see finer and finer how to apply them. Well, these others are just getting used to the concepts and this and that, and by the time they are able to work with it, it's already gone on to the next, you know, school of thought.
They say the world is geometry.
Hmm?
They say the world is geometry.
World is geometry. Okay. Yeah. Well, you want the interesting thing? You know what the Vedas say, what is their central math? Geometry. Because what you're going to use when you actually apply things, you're working with shapes.
But our vision is only 3D, and the demigods are working within the 64. So that puts us into very...
That's another thing, but the point is that the what we're saying is you're saying now they're saying that, but that's the Vedic point.
Mm.
Just like art means sculpture, it's 3D. Painting is a branch of that. But generally we think painting is the art and sculpturing is a branch. It's the other way around. Because if you know 3D, 2D you can do. But if you know 2D, it doesn't mean you can do 3D. You understand? So the Vedic has something. It always works. That's the point. The principles always work. Like that. So that's the point. Since one's going, since training is considered of value, great. Then train in our own systems. And then from that, then you can apply it. And it can always be applied. It's never going to change. You know, Vedanta, there's no philosopher on the planet that has something that you don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know, our deity worship, there's no one else that's doing any kind of ritual that's more elaborate than ours. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Vedic cooking, there's no cooking that's more elaborate than what we're doing. You know, they may take things and repeat things so many times, but it's already there. You do our stuff, and then after that, you take it, put it, it's in the pot, then you take a little bati, a little bowl, you put a coal in there, and then you put some spicing on that, you know, like anise or garam masala, different things like that. Put that in the pot, put the lid on the pot, and seal the pot with dough. Right? And so it becomes like a pressure cooker, and then it smokes it with this special fine spice, and that gets into it because of the pressure, it can't go out, so it permeates the whole thing. But you get a different flavor than if you had roasted it, put it at the end, ground it and put it in the middle, ground it and put it in the beginning in the koshan, or left it whole and put it in the beginning in the chant. So it's another way of doing it. So you elaborate, we got elaborate. It's just generally we just stick straight forward. So someone does something. So one guy, he takes the potatoes, then he boils them, then he puts them in this vacuum and sucks all the water out, and then he fries them in this, and it gives like the perfect potato and stuff like that. They'll stack 8 French fries up on top of a plate in the middle, and then, you know, big plate with that in the middle, and charge you, I don't know, God only knows how many dollars, but probably what, 30, 40 at least, you know, like that. And, you know, so... But the point is he boiled it, he fried it. You know, like that. You know. So that's the thing, but, you know, here's this, like, woo.
Heston Blumenthal.
Huh?
Heston Blumenthal, right?
Yeah.
That's his name.
Oh, that's the guy. Okay, yeah. So it's just like, you know, woo. You know, but it's like, he boiled it and fried it. You know, you fry it once, you fry it twice. These are all different things, but the principles are all the same. If you learn the Vedic cooking, you know all the principles. Then you want to combine them and do different things. You can do amazing stuff. You know, it's just like, remember back in the, it was in the, what was year was that? It was in, remember, I think it was 1980. Went to America, and then it was something happening. There was a Indian classical musician. You know, one of the top classical musicians. He happened to be in America doing a program, and they asked him if he could put together a tune for something. And he did it for this one thing. It was, I think it was maybe even done for some program at the temple or something. Then, somehow or another, I don't know what happened, but it got, this tune was, got, came to the attention of one of the big studios. I don't know, it was MGM or whoever it was. And they bought the rights to it for $100,000. And this is just some guy, you know, just, you know, I mean, Indian music, just, you know, playing around in that. Because those tunes are so simple compared to what they do here. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, asking Hemingway to come up with a limerick or something. You know, no problem. Or, you know, forming one racer to, you know, drive a tricycle with the, you know, the kid, you know, like that. It's just not a problem. So that's the point. You know the Vedic, anything else the rest of the world has, that's easy. That's the whole point. So this idea is that, oh no, that's something else, and this is something, that's only people, people can only say that who don't know what they're talking about.
Fear.
Yeah, fear or attachment, whatever it is. Because if you know the science is what's working everywhere. That's why it said Veda is knowledge. So you have the French cook, the knowledge he's using in cooking is the knowledge of cooking. But cooking itself comes from Krishna. The principle of cooking, it comes from Krishna. So he's not thinking of something new. You know, it's not like they take the mandarin orange and then with a, you know, which particular pot they take it, you know, whether it's the frying pan or it's the one for sauces and that, and then taking the pot in the right hand, holding it in the left hand, throwing it up in the air just the right amount and hitting it with the right amount of force and it hits the wall and then falls back on the table. And then now this is now in a perfect state to use in their preparation. You know, like that. You know, it's like, yeah. Then you make what, mandarin duck, right? You know, think things like that. You know? Huh? Does that make sense? This is not where this is not technique. You know, it's how you're applying the heat to the things, how you're using like this kind of things. These are the things, but those are all there in the science. Does that make sense? So, that's the point. Is that the science that it's given? Then that's the whole point. That's what we're using. But it's not because I know the science. Devotees get distracted by these things. Oh, no, this is the real thing, and anything else is not. That's also wrong. It's the devotion. So in other words, it's devotion to Krishna. You want to use the best possible for Krishna. Therefore, the recommendations are the best. If you don't have that, then you work down from there. But if you know the recommendations, then you'll be able to get the best out of what you have. Does that make sense? Like that. Even though it's not the ideal, but if you know the best. Like you take a good cook, practice cook, and then you give him 4 bricks, some pieces of wood, and an old tomato sauce can, and tell him to cook, he'll be able to do it. It's not ideal, but he can do it. But someone who doesn't know how to cook, they'll really have problems.
Somebody can cook cakes in the wood on a
yeah, in those box kind of things. We had here the best cake person that I know of used to do that. They cooked for Radha Madhava, but it was a box that you had to put on top of the gas stove. You know, it didn't have. Imagine that and getting that perfect. You know, like that. I've never seen cakes that good since. Mm-hmm. Like that. So yeah, because they knew the science. Flog this horse.
Flogging
enough.
The horse.
Like that. Do we see a pattern here? That this point keeps coming up again and again. You know, like that. Because we're trying to balance it. Because we say, yeah, it's only about the prime. Then we throw out the Vedic. And then others to take, no, it's all about the Vedic, and we miss the primary. So one talks about the primary, doesn't have a secondary, so uses a speculative secondary. And then somehow or another, that's so much better than using a primary secondary. Right? Does that make sense? And then the other group, they see that they use the primary, the secondary, but they miss the real primary, which is Krishna. So we're trying to keep that from happening. That's why there's so much talk. Because otherwise, if you want one or the other, then, you know, it's a 2-minute discussion. You know, you don't follow the Vedic, you're in Maya, that's from lechas and yavanas and this and that, and it's just mundane material identification, bodily concept of life. We understand? That's easy. You know, oh, it's not about any of these, it's about the devotion you have, and that's all that Krishna sees. He's not worried about what forms you use. It's just you have that devotion, so anybody can do that in any situation. That's all we're worried about. So you don't have to worry about what you have, what you're doing. You understand? Both of those click immediately. But you try to put the two together, and we've been talking for, 35 minutes. And still it's kind of like, okay, yeah. Even though it's like, this is all we ever talk about, right? That's what the Shas is talking about. But still it's like, well, okay, yeah. That's the problem. Okay. The results of bhakti are reserved for such a paramahamsa. Right? The results of bhakti are prema. And this stage cannot be attained by any Vedic process other than devotional service, right? So it says any Vedic process other than, so that means we understand bhakti is the Vedic process, that it's the recommended one, right? See, karma and jnana are the non-recommended. But they're there for materialists because better they have faith in the Veda than not have faith in the Veda. Because if they have faith in the Veda, at least they'll follow the lifestyle and everything, and then at one point they may catch how actually they can engage it. Well, if they reject the Veda, then there's every chance they may reject things that are actually useful in devotional service. Other processes, such as jnana and yoga, can be successful only when mixed with bhakti. When we speak of jnana yoga, karma yoga, and jnana yoga, the word yoga indicates bhakti. Bhakti yoga, or buddhi yoga, executed with intelligence and full knowledge, is the only successful method for going back home, back to Godhead. Right, so here it's your buddhi yoga executed with intelligence and full knowledge. So then you understand what's going on, then it works very nicely. If one wants to be liberated from the pangs of material existence, he should take to devotional service for quick attainment of this goal. Right, even if you want to be liberated, devotional service is going to get you there quicker. Right? That's the whole point. Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, if you think of it on the material platform, even that, you'll get more. Because if you think about it, in reality, if one wasn't a devotee, would one have as much facility as one has now?
No.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is that if you're looking at it realistically, in the context of that, you wouldn't have as much.
Yeah, you know? Same place.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, the big guy in the society like we're talking this morning, then he leaves the society thinking, you know, I'm going to go on like this and be the big guy. And he comes out and he's pumping gas. You know, it's just the way it is, because you get off the carousel, you get off where you started. You know, devotional service is one path, karma is another path. So you get off of karma, when you go back, you'll be on the same point. You know, just as when you come back into devotional service, you'll be back at the same point. So, they were never devotee, this or that. That same devotee who fell down in advance, when they take up devotional service, they'll be right back where they were. You know, so much talk about, oh, they were this, they weren't, you know. So... Verses 51 to 55. Lord Nrisimhadeva offers Prahlad Maharaj any benediction. The great saint Narada said, thus Lord Nrisimhadeva was pacified by the devotee. Prahlad Maharaj, with prayers offered from the transcendental platform, the Lord gave up his anger and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrate obeisances. He spoke as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living entities, living beings, and therefore you may ask me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. Right? He's still alive, so seems to be the benediction work. I think he's Chiranjeev. I think he'll live for the lifetime of Brahma.
Yeah.
Not going to just see now, you know, they went and visited. Gopa Kumar went and visited. So, yeah. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Right? Because, in other words, Krishna is taking care. He knows what you want, what you need. And like that. And so it'll all happen, that, you know, when is the right time, right? Because there's a time for everything, right? You plant, you put the mango seed in the ground, you have to wait a few years before you get the mangoes, right? Can't plant the seed and go, okay, where are the mangoes?
One time I asked Lakshmi Moni Mataji about this. I said, so that means we're advancing, but we're doing it very slowly. And he's like, as slow as we want.
So
it's like Krishna sets the time, but we're speeding up or something.
No, that's another thing. I was talking about that you want particular results in what you're doing.
Okay.
But as far as developing love for Krishna, that's not, that's a matter of how quick you want it to go or not. You know what I'm saying? When we see the deities in that, what are we talking about? Are we talking about pure devotion, or are we talking about other things and this and that, and this one's that, and that one this, and this situation, that situation? And you understand? So that's the point upon that, that's also going to be a symptom of how quickly we'll move. What is in the thought? What is it that we're contemplating? So if it's always how to be engaged in devotional service, then it will go quicker. And if it's devotional service and something else, then depending upon the something else and the volume of it, then it comes a little slower. You know, we always have to remember, a gold chain and ball is heavier than an iron one. But it's nice. Everyone's going to go, wow, check that out, right? I guarantee if you went down, you know, how you say, went through Times Square with a gold ball and chain, definitely people would notice if you're talking and not, wow, that's cool. They wouldn't be, you know, if it was iron, that, oh, what's this, what's happening, what's going on? But if it's gold, they'd go, wow. You know? In fact, there'd probably be people coming after you and kind of sweep up the gold that's rubbed off on the, you know, sidewalk. Yeah.
How'd you get it?
Yeah. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. My dear Pallad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. 51-54, Srila Prabhupada comments. One cannot be happy under any circumstance unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need not no longer lament for his material condition. Nard Muni said, Pladmars was the best person in the family of Asuras, who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. Right? So even though he's come from the family of Asuras, because he could have said, hey, we're from the family of Asuras, you know, so, you know, following all this, you know, really, you know, all this kind of demigod stuff, that's not for us, you know, that's not practical.
Be artificial, even.
Huh?
Be artificial,
even. Yeah, be artificial, you know, it's not natural, yeah, so, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so, the whole point is that, then, how you say, but, he doesn't, because he's interested in pure unalloyed devotion. Therefore, he's not interested. He just wants devotional service. Srila Prabhupada concludes, pure devotees like Pallad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj do not aspire for any material benefit at any stage of devotional service. When the Lord was present before Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj did not want to take any material benefit from the Lord. Swamin kritartho smi varam naya che. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22:42. As a pure devotee, he could not ask the Lord for any material benefit. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shware bhavatad bhaktir haituki twai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 20:29, Shikshastaka 4. O my Lord, Jagadish, I do not pray for benedictions by which to achieve material wealth, popularity, or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of the servant of your servant. And so, yeah, slightly opposed to the modern effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, a lot of important verses. So many important verses. Impressive. Oh, because these are the instructions of Pallad Maharaj.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. questions? Boss, you try your questions. Your favorite. Okay. And then chapter 10. She really likes the Boss, you try your questions.
I didn't do that either.
Okay. Okay, so she doesn't have to talk to you after the class.
Who says the important verses? I mean, who chooses the...
Who chooses the important verses?
They come mainly from the verses most commonly quoted by Srila Prabhupada. But also, if there's a verse that just contains a very important part of philosophy, it's also included.
Yeah, because you generally see they're all from... generally quoted in Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, and then Prabhupada quotes them. So if they're in both of these things like that, then it's obvious it's an important verse. So the idea is the important verses are the ones that you should be familiar with, because that's the where you get the essence of whatever is being discussed. So by being familiar with them, understanding them, so that how to use them, then that's the... Chapter 10. Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Pratigya, if anyone engaged in the devotional service of the Lord prays for personal sense gratification, he cannot be called a pure devotee or even a devotee. So if we want to get down to, oh, they fell down, they were never a devotee, anybody would say that also, according to the, is not a devotee either. Because the real ones that are devotees, they see all living entities as devotees. So it's definitely not an Uttamadhikari position. And a Madhyamadhikari, it would be, you know, those who are senior, this, that, he can appreciate. So the only one that could actually say that is the neophyte.
And they shouldn't be talking about the qualities of
others. Yeah, and they shouldn't be talking about the people who are senior to them. Now, maybe someone's advanced may talk like this, but it means in this area they're not advanced. Other areas they are. So where they're not talking like this, that's where you take example. Where they're talking like this, this is where, you know, you go powder your nose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chapter 10 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Yudhishthira asked Narad Muni. Narad Mun. And he asked him an eye question. Just see how it went. This is like, this is 5,000 years ago, and he's already asking eye questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very expensive question.
But have you ever heard of an eye question? No. See, this is even farther ahead than what we are now. You know, the iPhone, iBook, like this, but like eye question. This is advanced.
Therefore I am.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The existence of
exciting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the eye question.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have devotees camping out in front of here for tomorrow's lecture to figure out.
Yeah, what is the eye question?
Now we need eye answer.
Yes, yes. That's a Tato Brahma Vidyasa. Okay. 7.12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.10.52. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, for what reason did the demon Maya Dhanava vanquish Lord Shiva's reputation? How did Lord Krishna save Lord Shiva and expand his reputation again? Kindly describe these incidents. Right, so he sees that this is going to be the chapter where we're going to go into the next subject. Right, because it's a discussion, so there's going to be a main theme that the speaker is speaking on. But at the same time, as it goes, questions that come up in the discussion about a detail that furthers on the topic, or sometimes examples in that are given and that takes us off on other topics, but it'll always come back to the main topic again, right? But, you know, unless one's familiar with it, one doesn't see that. It just looks like so many things going everywhere. Does that make sense? Yeah. Narad Muni answers this question throughout the rest of this chapter. The rhetorical question uttered by Narad Muni in verse 70 does not come under this study. 70, so it's quite a big chapter. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev, disappeared after pleasing Prahlad Maharaj. It also describes a benediction given by Lord Shiva. Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to bestow benedictions upon Prahlad Maharaj, one after another. But Prahlad Maharaj, thinking them impediments on the path of spiritual progress, did not accept any of them. Instead, he fully surrendered at the Lord's lotus feet. He said, if anyone engaged in the devotional service of the Lord prays for personal sense gratification, he cannot be called a pure devotee or even a devotee. He may be called only a merchant engaged in the business of give and take. Right, so it means technically that would be, we look at it, that was technically what's going on. Though we're identifying as a devotee, trying to be a devotee, but we have to know is our position is actually a bit mercantile. Right? So that's the position, is the neophyte may do that. So that means that they want to become a devotee, that's why they're called devotees. But because of the mercantile aspect, then technically that's why they're said they're not devotees. Right, but if we emphasize that we're not devotees, then the madhyamas wouldn't associate with them, because the madhyama associates with devotees, and therefore they would get no benefit. Does this make sense? So that's why it's brought out just to bring some clarity to our position, but it's not emphasized, otherwise then it will be used in an improper way. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the point of it is to encourage us to not approach the Lord for these things, but for pure devotion. But it's also been recommended before in the first canto that even you have material desire, then it's more intelligent to approach the Lord than to not approach the Lord, because then you're connected to the Lord. There will be purification, right? There will be elevation. So if the identity is that of a devotee, right, so it's then it's karma, misra, bhakti, then eventually the devotional side will become more prominent as knowledge and detachment come. Then we'll come to the point of being steady, we'll come to the madhyama platform where that won't be a prominent element. Does that make sense? So the point is it's not one doesn't artificially give up, but at the same time as one knows the position like that. Does that make sense? Yes. Similarly, a master who wants to please his servant after taking service from him is also not a real master. Prahlad Maharaj therefore did not ask anything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he said that if the Lord wanted to give him a benediction, he wanted the Lord to assure him that he would never be induced to take any benediction for the sake of material desires. Exchanges of devotional service for lusty desires are always very prominent. As soon as lusty desires awaken, one's senses, mind, life, soul, religious principles, patience, intelligence, shyness, beauty, strength, memory, and truthfulness are all vanquished. One can render unalloyed devotional service only when there are no material desires within the mind, right? Because any of these then will distract. Mm-hmm. Right, so even here, religious principles. Oh no, but this is not moral. We got to change this, otherwise, how will society go on? We must purify. We must. They're also overwhelmed by mundanity, yeah. Because that's not the point that's getting in the way. It's lack of devotion's getting in the way.
So we distinguish between religious principles and devotional principles.
Yes, yes, we have to, because all these things are good, right? I mean, okay. Senses, mind, okay, life is okay. So religious principle, patience, you know, we say intelligence, yeah. Shyness, well, I don't know. Beauty, of course. Strength, hey, that's what gyms are for, right? Yeah. Memory, you know, like that, it's... What's that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And truthfulness, yes. If it's moral, it's truth. About Krishna's truthfulness, I don't know about that. But facts, yeah, but we must have the facts.
We like that.
Yeah, so then they distract. One can render unalloyed devotional service only when there are no material desires in one's mind. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was greatly pleased with Prahlad Maharaj for his unalloyed devotion. Yet the Lord provided him one material benediction that he would be perfectly happy in this world and live his next life in Vaikuntha. The Lord gave him the benediction that he would be the king of this material world until the end of the Manvantar millennium, and that although in this material world he would have the facility... He would have the facility to hear the glories of the Lord and depend fully on the Lord, performing service to him in an uncontaminated bhakti yoga. The Lord advised Prahlad to perform sacrifices through bhakti yoga, for this is the duty of a king. Prahlad Maharaj accepted whatever the Lord had offered him, and he prayed for the Lord to deliver his father. Right. So It's like he says, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, you want this, you want that. He's saying no. So it's just what he wants to give, then that's there. But because he has nothing that he wants to gain from the Lord other than devotional service. Okay. In response to this prayer, the Lord assured him that in the family of such a pure devotee as he, not only the devotee's father, but his forefathers for 21 generations are liberated. The Lord also asked Prahlad to perform the ritualistic ceremonies appropriate after his father's death. Then Lord Brahma, who was also present, offered many prayers to the Lord, expressing his obligation to the Lord for having offered benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord advised Lord Brahma not to offer benedictions to Asuras as he had to Hiranyakashipu, for such benedictions indulge them. Right. He didn't say, you know, this is nonsense, removing him from the post, you know, found some bureaucrat, stuck him in there, that he'll do a better job, you know, because, you know, well, it says in the rules that, you know, in fact that we saw that, you know, one of your toes was a little bit out of line, so even though you said it was talasan that you did for 100 years of the demigods, it still wasn't good enough, I'm sorry, you know, then step rejected, you know, next, you know, okay. You know.
That's not.
No, they didn't. Krishna didn't do that. Strange, right?
Alzheimer's.
Yeah. On that day, Prahlad Maharaj was installed on the throne of the world by Lord Brahma and Sukracharya. Thus, Narad Muni described the character of Prahlad Maharaj for Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he further described the killing of Ravana by Lord Ramachandra and the killing of Shishupal and Dantavakra in Dvapara Yuga. Shishupal, of course, had merged into the existence of the Lord and thus achieved Sayuja Mukti. Narad Muni praised Yudhishthira Maharaj because the Supreme Lord Krishna was the greatest well-wisher and friend of the Pandavas and almost always stayed in their house. Thus, right, so he stayed in their house, he didn't stay down at the hotel or, you know, like that. You know, so. Thus, the fortune of the Pandavas was greater than that of Prahlad Maharaj. Because otherwise he's thinking, oh, he's got such fortune and all that. The Lord came, performed his pastime, protected him and all that, and such great benediction. You know, the whole thing was so wonderful, so he was the most fortunate. But Narad Muni, so that Yudhishthira Maharaj wouldn't feel bad, no point, oh, Krishna comes and stays with you. He's your best friend, he's everything like that. So actually your position's more fortunate.
So with Shishupal here, we're talking a different kalpa? Because he's the gatekeeper of Vaikuntha. He's not supposed to merge into.
No, but that what's the problem if you merge into the Lord is everything, and then within that everything, then there's Vaikuntha?
Okay, so it's not, we're not. Yeah, okay.
Right, so just that way everybody can see, yeah. And, you know, so they understand it's special, and then he goes back to Godhead.
Okay.
Okay. Later, Narad Muni described how the demon Maya Dhanava constructed Tripura for the demons, who became very powerful and defeated the demigods. Because of this defeat, Lord Rudra, Shiva, dismantled Tripura. Thus he became famous as Tripurari. For this, Rudra is very much appreciated and worshipped by the demigods. This narration occurs at the end of the chapter. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.